Okay, this is July 8th, and the topic this month is Be Kind to Yourself.
And others.
And others.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, it's nice to be in a room filled with all these goddesses and gods. And I hope that this is finally sinking through to you, that you are one with this thing that we call God. You can call it Source. You can call it anything that you want. But you have to be one with it, since it's the only thing there is. So, as Ernest Holmes would say, you are the thing itself. So, with that said, I'm going to go through this little prosperity thing. Remember, this is a class on prosperity and abundance, including money. So, I open myself to the divine flow of goodness, ideas, and substance. I believe in abundance and the continual flow of divine goodness, ideas, and substance. If I'm experiencing lack in my life, I may need to examine my thoughts and actions to determine whether they are in alignment with my beliefs. This you must always do. Your thoughts must be in alignment with your beliefs. And so many people do not have those two things lined up. If you don't have those two things lined up, you are not going to manifest. It is just not going to work. If it does work, it's going to be haphazard. And what we want to teach in this teaching is for it always to happen for you, because abundance is everywhere. And when you get your mind straightened out and you no longer have negations going on of any type in your mind, that means that you're not thinking, oh, well, the world is not abundance. There's not enough to go around. I must get my slice of the pie, or whatever you're thinking. Then your belief system is out the window. You say, you must believe there's a pie for everybody. We don't divide pies in this teaching. Everyone has their own pie. That's why you can take nothing from me. You can take nothing from me. I have my own. You have your own. So, this idea that the world tells you that you must struggle, that you must be in competition to get what you want, is insane. And that's why so many people in this world are suffering from stress, because they're trying to compete. And there's no such thing as competition, because this thing that we call God does not compete against itself. And you are gods and goddesses. Therefore, you do not compete with each other. You create. There is no such thing as competition. There is only creativity. So, we want to get our thoughts in line with your beliefs. Do I often worry whether I will have enough money to meet my needs? This is a big one. Many people are always worried that they'll run out of money before the end of the month, or that they will never be able to meet their needs. You must say to yourself every day, my needs are always met, because God is my source and my supply. You see, we want to get rid of the word need. When you're in need, you become needy. When you become needy, here again, you are not clearing your mind to allow this thing that we call God, this source that we all came from, to operate through you. You have put up a block in front of that. And God cannot take the block away. Only you can take the block away. And this is another thing. So many people are praying for God to take the block away, God to make them this, God to make them that. You're already everything. You're already everything. You must decide in your own mind to take the block away. God will not do that for you. Do I hold on to possessions I no longer need in fear of being without? Many people do that. Many people do that. I had a teacher. Her name was Joyce Reynolds. And she said, if you want to manifest anything, clothes, whatever you want, go through your closet and throw out all the stuff you don't need, and you'll see that it will immediately fill itself back up. Why is that? Because there's another law in the universe, and that is the law that abhors a vacuum. So if you take something out, it comes back. That's why I tell people, yes, you may have that, anything. You may have that, you may take this, that, and the other thing. Because as soon as I get rid of those things, more comes to me. More comes to me. You just have to remember that, and you have to keep doing that, and it has to be in your thinking. If the answers are yes, I have a powerful opportunity to realign my thoughts, feelings, expectations, and actions with truth. And what is the truth? We hear this word all the time. What is the truth? The truth is that God is your source and your supply. That this world that we live in is absolutely abundant. Absolutely abundant. And you see that all around, and you have to see that all around. Remember, I love to go to grocery stores because there's so much food in the grocery store, and things are packed to the ceiling in there. You have to say to yourself, my goodness, look how abundant the world is. And what do we also know about abundance? If the world is abundant, you have to be abundant because you are their world. That was a song once, isn't it? Wasn't it? We are the world. You are the world itself. You are the abundance that you're looking for. Abundance is not outside of you. Nothing is outside of you. Everything is inside of you. So when you think abundant thoughts, when you see abundance all around, when you say to yourself, look, I am one with this abundance, you will start to be abundant. It will just automatically come to you. This thing of abundance, people, is showering down upon you all the time. And next month, with August is ready for already, we're going to learn how to open to that, to what we call life particles or prana, whatever you want to call it. We're going to open our minds, our bodies, our beings, so that we actually can bring that in. It's showering down on us all the time. But here, on the top of our head, is what we call a crown chakra. You have to open up your crown chakra if you want to receive it. Most people have no idea of chakras. They have no idea that it's on top of their head, and they have no idea how to open it. Once you open it, all this stuff, well, you can't see it. We will learn to see it. We will learn to see all that. Does that help you? My good comes from the inexhaustible, omnipresent substance of spirit. Inexhaustible. You cannot run out. It's inexhaustible. That's what you must think about your money. My money does not run out. How many people say, oh, I can't do that. My money's going to run out. My money's going to run out. You must realize that money is inexhaustible because God is inexhaustible. And money happens to be God in action, people. It's just a form of God. I place my faith in spirit and give thanks for all I receive. I'm a part of a joyous divine flow. I affirm and expect prosperity in every area of my life. That's a wonderful affirmation at the bottom. If you just said that every day, I align. I affirm and expect prosperity in every area of my life. Every morning, get up and say that to yourself. You have to do it. It's all called self-talk, people. See, no one else can do it for you. You must do it for yourself, and you must open your own self up to all this. So, anyway, this class is called Abundance and Prosperity, Including Money. And we do talk about other things in here, but it all, when you put it all together, it comes down to the idea that you can have what you want. And that you're not needing. That all your needs are always met on or before time, you see. Because this thing that we call God, this thing that we call Source, this thing that we actually came from, wants to give you everything. Wants to give you everything. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is, "Fear not, little flock, for it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom." The kingdom of what? The kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, what do you think when you're talking about heaven? Heaven is peace. Heaven is prosperity. Heaven is abundance. Heaven is never wanting anything, never needing anything. You must say to yourself every day, all my needs and wants are answered before I ask. All my needs and wants are answered before I ask. Keep doing this, people. I think next month you'll learn even more how to do that, and I wish I would have prepared it for this month, but when I say I have to wait till next month, because I'm preparing it I know next month is the class, I am doing my work and my studying so I can present it to you in a way that will work for you. Because this is a very simple teaching. I've said that up from one side down the other. It's always a very simple teaching. And what is that teaching? Why is it so simple? Because it's always done unto you as you believe. It's always going to be done unto you as you believe, not as I believe, but as you believe. So what we are always doing is changing our beliefs, changing our perspectives, changing our viewpoints and opinions. That's all we're doing, so that we become aligned with this source, or this thing that we call God. Once we become aligned with that, everything comes to us. Everything just keeps flowing to us. The people that are not experiencing that is because they believe in what? They believe in separation. You cannot believe in separation. Believe in unity. Believe in oneness. So, with that said, tonight's topic, or this month's topic, is be kind to yourself and others. This is one of the most difficult things to learn. You can be kind to other people, but some very difficult to be kind to yourself. And it must always start with you. You must be the one. You see, it's all right to be kind to somebody else, but it doesn't help. It has to start with you. You have to be kind. Here again, we have that little thing in the Bible. Treat your neighbor as yourself. Treat your neighbor as yourself. We try to do that all the time. It doesn't work because we don't love ourselves enough. We don't like ourselves enough, you see. It has to start with you. You have to be kind to yourself. Race mind and the world outside is never going to tell you that to be kind to yourself. Brand named religions are absolutely set on the idea be kind to other people. They never tell you to be kind to yourself. It's all right to beat yourself up, but you may not beat anybody else up. It's all right to have that critical mind going on all the time. Every one of us has a critical mind. Where did we get the critical mind? I'm not quite sure, but it comes from a race mind. I don't know how many people are familiar with transactional analysis. In transactional analysis, that critic is called the parent. And how many people have a parent mind going on? You do something and your mind says, oh, you shouldn't have done that, just like your parents would have told you. You have to get rid of the parent mind. You have to sit down and love yourself. You have to be kind to yourself in every thing that you do. Never, never punish yourself. How many people eat a pint of ice cream and then let their mind punish them for eating that ice cream? That's not being kind to yourself. That's not being kind to yourself. You have to constantly train your mind to say, what you are doing is absolutely wonderful. And you are absolutely wonderful. Once you have that down, then you can start to like other people. Remember I said we were taught, or I was taught, and I'm sure you people were, I was a Boy Scout. And what was the motto in the Boy Scouts? God first, others second, and self third. You see, they always put you third. You must change that around, and you must become number one. You must start to be kind to yourself. Not that I'm telling you not to be kind to other people, not to care about other people, but you have to give yourself the kindness and care for yourself the way you would somebody else. And we don't do that, you see. We think, God's going to really love us because we are kind to that other person. No, not really. God wants you to love yourself. God wants you to be kind to yourself in everything. In everything that you do. So we have to look into our critical mind or our parent mind and see what it's saying to us. And hear what it's saying to us. And learn to change that. Learn to change that horrible voice that is inside of you. 35 years ago, I had a horrible critical mind. I was not kind to myself. And I wasn't kind to other people either. I couldn't be kind to other people because I wasn't kind to myself. And I tell this story, and I'll tell it again. Say 30, 35 years ago, when my alarm clock used to go off in the morning, my critical mind would say, Dallas, you better get up. You're nothing but a worthless lounge lizard. If you don't get up and get something done, you're never going to amount to anything. Now, this is the critical mind. After it tells you that, what does it do? It goes away. And you lay there in bed and say, oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. It's not right at all. Just your mind talking to you, telling you dumb stuff, telling you idiotic stuff all the time. Remember, you're not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Your mind is yours to use. People suffer from this who never get into this teaching or get into any type of therapy whatsoever. They listen to their critical mind, their parent mind, all the time. And they have an awful life. They have an awful life. Once you learn to put the critical mind behind you, then that small voice, that spirit that is inside of you will start to take over. We hear a lot about this still small voice that is inside of us. And it is a still small voice. So when the critical mind or the parent mind is yelling and screaming, you can't hear the still small voice. So you have to settle yourself down till you get to a point where you can hear the voice inside of you. That voice that says you are a wonderful human being. Everything is going to be all right. You see, this is what we want to hear going on inside of us. We do not want to be browbeated by our own minds. The trick about that is we fall for that trick of the mind because we think we are our mind. We think we are our minds, and we are not our minds. You have to listen to what your mind is saying, and you have to correct it constantly. You have to learn to be kind to yourself 24 hours a day. Never let it get a foothold. And if it has a foothold on you at the present moment, correct that. You're the one that now can raise your own self. You can become your own parent. You can put the voice inside of your head that you want to hear. You can put the voice inside of your head that you want to hear. And isn't it much nicer? When my alarm clock goes off now in the mornings, my mind says, good morning, Dallas. You are going to have an absolutely wonderful day. Everything is coming your way. And then it goes away. Now I can get up and feel great about myself. But it's very hard. I told you this story, and I still have people that call me, you know, that can't bring themselves to go into work in the morning because their mind keeps them from doing that. I have to talk them into going into work. Now, we don't want that, do we? We don't want that. We want to be able to get up and know that everything is coming our way, that we're going to have a wonderful day, that whatever job we have is going to be the right job at that right moment. I have so many people call me and they're in the wrong job. Well, you don't know. This happens and that happens and blah, 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 and I'm having a hard time. Well, that's just their mind telling them that. I'll give you some advice. The best way to work yourself out of a job is to work yourself into the job. You are the one who has to do that. Once you work yourself into the job, you do a much better job. Somebody comes by and says, isn't it? Oh my gosh, look, they're doing such a wonderful job. I think I'll hire that person. But they're not going to hire you when you say, oh, I hate my job and I can't get myself up in the morning. I can't do this. I can't do that. This is not liking yourself, people. This is not liking yourself, and it's no way to go through life. And I'm telling you, I could say thousands, if millions of people get up every morning and don't like what they're doing and go to a job that they do not like. That's not a good idea. That is not a good idea. Any job that you're on, make it the best that you can do. You have to do that. You have to do that. And don't wait for the boss to tell you this, that, the other thing, or what a great job you're doing. You have to know that yourself. You see, and here again, I hate to do this to August. Next month, we'll learn how to do that so that we're never looking outside of ourselves for those things. We do not need compliments. When you know who you are, you don't need a compliment. You do not need admiration. You do not need all of those things. The same way that this thing that we call God does not need worship. God is far above that. God already knows what it is. This is what we have to do. We have to know who we are. We have to know that we can do these things, that we can work ourselves into this job. Now, there are going to be some ups and downs and some bumps in the road, but you have to know also that you're victorious over all these things. They're not going to last. You know, they're not going to last. And once you realize that you're victorious and that this thing that we call God is working in as and through you, all that stuff is cleared away. All that stuff is cleared away. So don't do those things to yourself. And look at your mind and see what it is telling you. And if you're punishing yourself in any way, if you're unkind to yourself in any way, this is not good, people. This is not good. Many people think they have to be critical of themselves, or that keeps them in line. I hear people say, well, if I didn't, you know, criticize myself, I wouldn't. Who wants that? That's an awful way, you know. Criticism is an awful way. Don't criticize yourself, and certainly don't criticize anybody else. So when you learn to like yourself, then you can learn to like other people. People will not bother you. If you like yourself enough, you don't care what other people do. You don't care what other people say, how they dress, whatever they do. That's them. That is them. You don't need that. But we're always trying to go outside of ourselves. It's an impossibility to go outside of yourself. We try it all the time. We've tried it now. On this planet, for thousands and thousands of years. And we are finally reaching a point where we realize it doesn't work. It does not work. What works is kindness. What works is kindness. Don't we always want somebody to be kind to us? So we have to be kind to ourselves. We have to do that for ourselves. And it's all right. Give yourself permission to be kind to yourself. That is all most people are waiting for, you know, is permission to do that. They're holding on to old ideas because, oh, well, my parents weren't that kind to me, so I can't be kind to myself. Oh, bull. That was then. This is now, you know. Whatever your parents did, forget. What other people did to you, forget. It's what you're doing right now to yourself. So you forgive yourself and you forgive them. You forgive everything and you start over. And you sit down and you say, I absolutely am going to be kind to myself. I'm going to treat myself to this and that and the other thing. I talked a moment ago about this lady, Joyce Reynolds. Joyce Reynolds, I've talked to you before about her. Maybe one day she'll come visit us. She is in Georgia, and she's called a motivator of one or a thousand, and she's quite good at what she does. And she had no prosperity consciousness when she was younger, and a lot of other things. Now, she has a prosperity consciousness, and she treats herself absolutely wonderfully, absolutely kindly, and when she goes to a restaurant, she usually orders every dessert on the menu. She said, I don't care if I can eat him or not, and I always order my dessert first because I was taught, you know, you have to wait for dessert. She doesn't wait. She's kind to herself. So she doesn't punish herself in any way. She doesn't hold anything against her. Now you'd think she was gigantic, but she's not gigantic, you're saying. She's not gigantic. Be kind to yourself and be kind to others. That is what this whole idea of life is about. And that is what most of the brand name churches are trying to teach. But they get off the track somewhere. Where do they get off the track? They get off the track with this idea of separation. And they get off the track with the idea of punishment. That this thing called God is going to punish you in some way. So what does your mind do instead of letting God punish you? It punishes you. Your mind punishes you. And you think, oh, well, I'll punish myself before this thing called God gets around to it. God's never going to punish you. God is never going to punish you. Why are you punishing yourself? You understand? But we pick up that idea from these brand name churches. I picked it up when I was a Lutheran. I picked that up. You certainly picked it up as a Catholic. It's everywhere. But you have to change that, you see. We think that it's all right. And we see that all the time. You know, turn on the television. Here again, Law and Order, I think, runs around the clock, too. And what is Law and Order all about? Law and Order is about punishment. They all these people have to be punished. See? So we have that in consciousness, this idea of punishment. And we start to punish ourselves. You see? You cannot do that. Earlier tonight we talked about Rhoda. Remember Rhoda's saying, it wasn't hers, it was Rumi's. And it was, why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? You see, we always put ourselves in prison and we become our own jailers. We become our own jailers. You've got to let yourself out. You've got to give yourself a break. You've got to be kind to yourself. And you've got to stop that mind, that critical mind, that parental mind, from telling you that you're bad, that you didn't do something right, or this went wrong, or that went wrong, whatever it's doing. You have to also, in the morning when you wake up and want all this stuff and say everything is coming to me, you have to say, I'm not going to punish myself today. I've punished myself enough. How many people do you know that have punished themselves for years and years and years about something that doesn't even matter, but they hold that against themselves? Do not hold things against yourself, because this mind that we live, move, and have our being in, this mind of God, this mind of the universe, does not hold anything against you. There is nobody, as I said before, up there writing everything down, or down here writing everything down. The world is changing. Things are changing constantly. We are growing closer and closer to this source. We are learning to forgive ourselves. We are learning to be kind to ourselves. We are learning to love ourselves. Where a generation ago, that was not what was going on. It was not what was going on. One of the things that come to mind, many people, in what we went through, was called the sexual revolution and so forth. Before the sexual revolution, everyone was absolutely assured that God was sitting on the bedpost, watching everything. I can tell you that that's not true. What is watching you is yourself. And if you're not kind to yourself, loving to yourself, you are the one that's doing it. God is not doing it to you. So the whole idea to be kind to yourself is a wonderful idea and a necessary idea and a necessary thing for you to do. How many people have been in a relationship where the one person is not kind to themselves? And you can say to that person, but you're this, that, and the other thing, whatever, and try to build them up. But you can't build them up. Because they believe that they're not a kind, loving person. They believe they're not a kind, loving person. So if anyone here right now thinks that they're not kind, change that. You have the power to do that. How do you do that? Just start to become kind to yourself. It's a very simple idea and a very simple thing to do. Why do you want to hold that against yourself? Why do you want to do that to yourself? Don't. Learn to see yourself as God sees you, as a wonderful, magnificent being. A wonderful, magnificent being. Remember, years ago I taught you people, I'm sure you, The mirror technique of looking in the mirror, right into your eyes, and saying, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. How many people are still doing that? You're still doing it? Good. You have to do it every day. Or every time you pass by a mirror. Look at you. Yeah. I have hundreds of mirrors in my house. I'm busy. But you have to do that because we're training our own mind. We have to train this mind. So many people are in talk therapy because they don't believe they're kind. They don't believe they're kind. They believe that they're nasty people. And we're not nasty people. We're wonderful. We're wonderful people. So it starts with you, as everything else in life starts with you. The world wants to tell you that everything is outside of you somewhere. I want to tell you that everything is inside of you. What you are looking for, you are looking with. You are looking with. Look inside of yourself and see the magnificence that is inside of you. Every bit of kindness, every bit of love, every bit of forgiving and understanding is already inside of you. You do not have to go to a school or university to know that. But here again, we are not taught those things, are we? We are not taught those things, and we allow this critical mind to take over. I don't know, how many people are familiar with transactional analysis? Transactional analysis is the idea that you have a parent mind, a critical mind, and an adult mind. And you must come from the adult mind. You are an adult now. You must use your adult mind. And you must be kind to yourself. The critical mind, or the parent mind, is what you know that instantly. As soon as you scold yourself for doing anything, oh, I was so dumb, I shouldn't have done that. That's not being kind to yourself. And that's using the parent mind. You can actually hear your parents' voices sometimes going on. And they heard their parents. This is not, you know, it goes on for generation after generation till you're able to break through that. So what we're always trying to do when we say we're trying to find the truth in everything, we're trying to find your authentic self. See, we have put layer after layer after layer on top of us of who we think we are. And we're none of those things that we think we are. Because we've never touched the authentic self. The authentic self has never been touched by anything on the outside of life. It remains absolutely pure. We want to go back to that purity when we knew everything was all right. Before we started to be conditioned by the world. Before we started to be conditioned by the culture we live in. By the culture we live in. All the thoughts that we're thinking, all the things that we think we are, we really are not. We can change any thinking that we have. I don't care what your circumstances was, what your circumstances are, where you were born, who you were born to. Any of that stuff does not matter, people. If you want a pedigree, maybe, on the outside, but that doesn't matter. Nothing matters. What matters is bringing this authentic self to the forefront of your life instead of burying it underneath everything. And many times when you're still enough, you still recognize that authentic self inside of you. And you still want to know what happened to that. Why hasn't that grown? It hasn't grown because we just keep putting other things on top of it all the time. We keep believing what the world is telling us. We believe what other people are telling us. Instead of going within and seeing who we really are and seeing that magnificence that is inside of us, you see? We all have that. And we can find that. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's always been there. But no one ever taught us how to bring it to the forefront. Next month, we're going to bring it to the forefront. We're going to learn how to use all this stuff instead of just talking about it. These classes are absolutely wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I love teaching these classes and so forth. But this is a practical teaching. And you must be able to use it. And you must be able to use it, again, 24/7. Many people come to this class and say, oh, it uplifts me so. I wouldn't miss one of these classes. Well, I'm delighted that they don't want to miss one of these classes. What do you do the rest of the week? Many people wait just to come here so they can feel good. You have to feel good all the time, whether you're in this class or not. Now, please, come back next week. But you can hear what I'm saying. We cannot advance in our lives without first finding out who we are. And that is the problem with most of us. We have not found out who we are. We are afraid to do that, you're saying, because we're afraid somebody will say, who do you think you are? How dare you do that? You know, when I got thrown out of the Baptist church, it was because they wanted me to say that I was sinful. And I said, no, I will not do that. I am not a sinful person. I've done many crazy things, but I'm not going to admit that I'm sinful. Then who do you think you are? Do you think you're Jesus Christ? I said, perhaps. Well, the whole congregation and the whole church went up in arms. They called my friend who used to take me, Doug the Baptist. That's who I used to go with, Doug the Baptist. And said, he can't come back. He can't do this. He can't do that. Because he doesn't believe that he's sinful. You see, they teach sin. And they teach it that you're sinful. Most brand name churches teach what? That you're born into sin. How can you be born into sin? Absolutely an impossibility. When I see these little kids, I think they are just the cutest, precious little thing. They know who they are. They are in contact with their authentic self. But it's constantly taken away from them. Constantly taken away from them. It starts with your training. And the first thing that is taken away from you is what? Your imagination. Now, that was all right when you were younger to think that you kissed that frog in the garden. But now you're too old. You cannot think that anymore. You cannot imagine that anymore. And yet, the people who keep their imagination are the ones that succeed in this world. People with an imagination are the ones that we pay money to all the time. But yet, we don't think. You have to be kind enough to yourself to restore your imagination. To restore it. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's right in there. You're just not using it. And here again, how do you use your imagination? Every day, say, I'm using my imagination. My imagination is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm getting better at this all the time. You have to do that for yourself. You have to do that for yourself. You know, as crazy as Michael Jackson was, and he did very strange things, he had imagination. He had a wonderful imagination, you see. And he'll be remembered forever and ever and ever because of his imagination. Who are some of the other people that I can think of in my generation? Do you remember when Madonna first started, the church was after her, the Pope was going to discommunicate her, going to do this, that, and the other thing? They hated her because she had an imagination. Now she's become an icon. She's become an icon. It starts with your imagination, people. You have to take this mind and you have to train it. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Use your mind correctly. Use it. Ask it for imagination. And the more you imagine, the more you work on it, the greater it becomes, the bigger it becomes. You see? People say, oh, well, they were just born that way. We were all born that way. The imagination is in full force within each and every one of us. The other thing to remember about the imagination, if it wasn't for the imagination, civilization would never have advanced. We would still be living in caves. Somebody had an idea. Somebody imagined, oh, maybe we could live in a tent. And from there, oh, maybe we could live in a house. Maybe we could put this together, and maybe we could do this, that, and the other thing. That's your imagination, people. And that imagination is this thing, this source, this thing we call God, working through you. Working through you. And this is what we want to be able to do with our own lives. So that we feel good about ourselves all the time. And the way to feel good about yourself all the time is to be kind to yourself. Be loving, be kind, be forgiving. The more you do that and the kinder you become to yourself, all that other stuff will go away. And you will finally meet that authentic self that is still inside of you, still waiting for your recognition. Still waiting for your recognition. The same way with that thing that they were always talking about since day one. I remember, still small voice within you. How many people have heard that still small voice within them? Very few people have heard that still small voice. People talk about it all the time. Oh, you have a still small voice. Yeah, well, we're listening. I can't quite see it. We have to learn to hear the still, small voice. And we can hear that when we start to be kind to ourselves and others. This is how it starts. Everything starts in your mind, in your imagination, and everything starts with kindness. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you. Mm-hmm.